love the silent hours of the night. That's when my thoughts come to life. Those are the late night conversations I don't mind losing sleep over. Join me on the late nights with Just Tammy. Welcome to the Late Nights with Just Tammy. And today it's going to be very, very interesting because with me here is Gabriela Rosa, and she is an Harvard University awarded scholar. She's also a fertility specialist. She's also the best-selling author since 2001. And she is also the founder and director of the Rosa Institute. Oh, well, hi, how are you doing, Gabriela?
Hi, Jamie. Lovely to meet you and be here. I'm well.
It's great to have you on my show as a fertility specialist, especially for this topic, because we're talking about fertility being a team sport. And before we start, I start bombarding you with questions. How did you get into this? What were your inspirations for being a fertility specialist?
Yeah, that's a great question. Look, it started a long time ago. I used to work for an obstetrician gynecologist, actually. And I remember having a conversation with him one day and him, you know, giving me some career advice. And I said, oh, you know, I'm thinking that I might like to specialize in pediatrics. And he goes, Gabriela, that's the worst idea you've ever had. And I was like, what? What do you mean? And he goes, well, you know, if you are a pediatrician or you're specializing in pediatrics, your patient is not your patient and your patient can't speak. I was like, oh, yes, that is a point. And so, you know, it was a startling moment that really got me into a different thinking modality about what are the types of conversations that I wanted to have with people, you know, for a long time. And I knew that I was always very interested in transformation. That was really what got me into what it is that I do. And I was very excited about the prospect of helping people live healthier and better lives and how that could impact the next generation of humans, you know, not in a creepy way, just in a really empowering way. Yeah. And so basically I decided, okay, I think fertility and helping two prospective parents be the healthiest version of themselves prior to a conception attempt felt like a noble exercise. And, you know, it really has developed into something that I've loved more than what I imagined from the beginning of this career, which has been really incredible. You know, it's led me to write many books. And in fact, for people who might be interested in the topic, I wrote a book called Fertility Breakthrough, Overcoming Infertility and Recurrent Miscarriage When Other Treatments Have Failed. That's available free on Spotify. So, you know, for anybody who might be trying to conceive, might be either, you know, in the beginning of their journey or have been going through the journey for some time, there will be some pearls of wisdom in there that I've collected, you know, over the last 24 years now, that I think could be very helpful for people. But and like I said, it's free on Spotify. So, and it's also available on every other place where you can buy books and audiobooks. But yeah, so it was that kind of journey. It was that kind of those types of conversations that really could change people's lives that got me most interested in what it is that I do today. So here we are.
Amazing. It's really amazing to have you on the show, really, because you have a lot of expertise in this particular topic.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's been such a long time of people, you know, people typically when people come to me, when I started, I really had this kind of feeling or desire that people would come because they were really focused on doing the best that they could to have the healthiest possible baby. Because after all, we know that a baby's health and life predispositions in terms of their health and health outcomes actually is pretty much set by 8 weeks gestation. Mm. You know, like by 8 weeks pregnancy, which, you know, sometimes women don't even know they're pregnant at 8 weeks. Yeah. A baby already has all its little organs, all its little fingerprints. Literally, that baby is really quite set for the rest of its life in terms of its health, you know, kind of genetics and all of the things that are going to unfold from there. Of course, the environment makes a huge difference and epigenetics plays a huge role once birth happens. But, you know, whatever we can do to optimize that initial start in life, it happens not while a woman is pregnant, even though a lot of people think, oh, you know, when I'm pregnant, I'll be really healthy. Mm. You know, when I'm pregnant, I'll take my supplements or my vitamins, or I'll stop smoking or I'll stop drinking. Well, actually, first of all, if you think about this, a baby is made of two very distinct parts, right? Yeah. It's the egg and it's the sperm.
Yeah.
It's not just the egg.
Mm, exactly.
So this is not just a woman's issue, right? And a lot of infertility happens because of 40% because of female factor, 40% because of male factor, and 20% because of other factors, right? And that's the same kind of breakdown as to why miscarriages occur or IVF treatments fail, even though, you know, usually there's a lot of finger pointing around who is to blame for infertility, failed treatments, all of these things. It really is 40% because of the female, 40% because of the male, and 20% because of embryonic and other factors. So we need to take into account that it makes absolute sense that it is not just a woman who's going to have the responsibility of optimizing a child's health for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. The sperm has a lot to, you know, of a part to play in that conversation. And what happens is that, you know, because you have that preset set point at 8 weeks where really everything is pretty much formed, what happens is that the time to optimize a child's health is way before a conception even takes place.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, if you think about the development of the egg and the sperm, the egg takes approximately, women are born with all the eggs we will ever have. And perhaps we will have a different conversation in 20 years from now, because there's a lot of stem cell research talking about how can we regenerate ovarian reserve for women and, you know, all of these things. But at this point in time, very much, you know, women are born with all the eggs we'll ever have. And so what happens is that throughout our lifetime, each cycle that a woman has, there's a whole lot of eggs that get recruited and get focused on in order for ovulation to occur, right? And then, of course, fertilization and implantation and the delivery of a healthy baby. But what we need to take into account is that that process of ovarian maturation, of egg oocyte maturation, you know, the egg maturation takes, really, it happens in two major cycles. We go from primordial follicle, which is the follicles that we have in our ovaries when we are born as babies, and even actually the follicles that we have when we are in our mother's womb, in our grandmother. You know, so like this, fertility is also transgenerational, and it is so for both male and females. And so what happens is that those primordial follicles, they will be recruited, and that initial maturation process is approximately 5 months, 5 to 6 months. The second maturation stage is where we go from primordial follicle, the first is primordial follicle to primary follicle, then we go from primary follicle to ovulatory follicle. And those the follicles that are going to ovulate, they take approximately in that second stage of maturation 4 to 6 months, depending, you know, on the person and environmental factors and a whole lot of things. Mm. So really, if we think about it, how long it takes to optimize egg quality, it's not less than 6 months. because you're either going to make a difference to the entire maturation process, or you're going to make a difference to the different stages of it to improve egg quality. You cannot improve or increase ovarian reserve. We are born with the eggs that we have, but we can absolutely improve
the quality of the
quality of the eggs that are ovulated. And that really is an important concept for people to understand. So that's just on the female side. So again, if it takes, say, 10 to 12 months for the egg to mature and be ovulated, imagine if you really want to optimize that child's health, you're starting from that starting point, which is the longest part of that entire journey. The sperm takes approximately 4 months to be, you know, kind of made. Men make sperm throughout their lifetime. They're not like storage machines like women are to a certain extent, you know, like they're constantly making sperm. But it also takes approximately, you know, from germ cell to actually, you know, the end result of the spermatozoa, it takes approximately 4 months. And so in either case, you're looking at, if you really are focused on improving and optimizing the health of the female and the male for the healthiest possible conception, and, you know, particularly if we have this situation of failed treatments or infertility or miscarriage, you really are needing to actually play and optimize those time frames as best as you can, so that when you get to 8 weeks gestation, you know that you've put in that pre-work that has enabled you to be the healthiest version of you, that you are bringing the best quality egg and sperm to that conception attempt, and of course to the development of that healthy baby. So, you know, the more that people can actually kind of prepare their bodies and prepare themselves, the better. It's not to say that people who, you know, because often I get asked the question of like, yeah, you know, that might be the case, but there's still, you know, my neighbor, my sister, my brother, whoever, you know, they had a really bad lifestyle. They drank, they smoked, they did drugs, and they still had a healthy baby. See, and here's the thing. The reality is, what is healthy, right? I think that we need to really take into account, like, often I think that people consider unhealthy things that they can see, and health and unhealth or lack of health is not really something that you can necessarily determine by looking and observing something, because the body does adapt in many ways, and it does is able to overcome many challenges, and therefore you don't necessarily notice all of the adaptations that the body has to go through when we haven't started with the best possible start in life, right? However, could we fulfill one's full potential by being healthier than unhealthier? Well, it's more likely, right? It's certainly more likely. And so, and it's not to say, you know, sometimes you might have a situation where somebody hasn't had the best possible start in life and went on to develop and do extremely well in their life, in intelligence and, you know, in other factors. But it's really, all of these things occur in a spectrum. So I think that the more that we understand that we have a role to play and that we can impact these situations and these factors, the better, because then we can, you know, when we know better, we do better. And I think that that's important as well.
All right. So it's just going to like take me this, your introduction is just going to like take me into the questions that I have for you today. So what fascinating discoveries have been made in understanding how the collaboration between male and female reproductive systems influence the journey to conception?
Okay, so that's a really great question. And look, I mean, there are so many fascinating discoveries, you know, just even from a physiological and anatomical perspective, the way in which all of this happens is miraculous to begin with. If you think about the fact that, you know, often we take for granted conception, and certainly I think that school education does a disservice for the most part on people understanding their fertility and understanding that there are things that they can do. I think it's quite fascinating, you know, some of the transgenerational discoveries that have been made around fertility, because if you really think about it, Yes, of course, everybody would know that if you have a female baby inside a woman's womb, you are going to have all of the eggs that that female, when that female is born, all of those eggs are going to be gestated within the environment of that other mother, right? So it's kind of like here, me being in my mother's womb while she was being gestated in my grandmother means that I was already within my grandmother before my mother was born, right? Which is kind of like mind-blowing. Yeah, it's a mind-blowing. It's like those Russian dolls, you know, like that whole thing for me is just like quite an incredible thing. But we now know from a genetic perspective and from an epigenetic perspective, which is how the environment affects genes and therefore how genes actually express themselves, which is the field of epigenetics, you know, understanding that your health is going to not only now be dictated by what your mother did, but also what your grandmother did is quite fascinating, you know, and that there will be predispositions and there will be strengths that will happen as a result of that interplay, I think is extremely fascinating. And, you know, so there is this whole entire field of study that looks at how people actually develop in their lives based on their ancestors from a physical perspective. And of course, I mean, we know genetics play such a big role, but, you know, the predispositions to disease and to different aspects of life. We know also that women, you know, there is a correlation between when a woman might go into menopause based on when her grandmother and her mother went into menopause. And the same kind of factors apply to fertility as well. You know, it's not always the case that if a woman has had difficulty conceiving, i.e. if your mother had difficulty conceiving you, that you will have difficulty conceiving. However, sometimes there are correlations around all of that that I think is interesting, right? And important to take into account. So, you know, it's all of those factors that I think are really interesting and quite fascinating to take into account when we're talking about fertility and when we're talking about the development of humans. You know, I think it's quite interesting.
So let's talk about lifestyle choices. And you know that lifestyle choices often come to play when it comes to fertility. So can you elaborate on the exciting ways that diet, exercise, and daily habits can contribute to or challenge the quest for fertility?
Yeah, that's such a great question. You know, like, so here's the thing. I'm going to give an analogy here because I think that this is a really important analogy for people to, a really important concept for people to understand.
Yeah.
Lifestyle and lifestyle choices is an important, hugely important foundation to health and to fertility and reproductive health in general. Okay. And it's, if I'm to use an analogy, this is the analogy that I'm going to use. When somebody's having difficulty conceiving, let's equate that to when you have a really bad pain in your teeth or on your tooth.
Mm.
Right? Let's say you have a really bad toothache. Now, if you have a really bad toothache, are you going to stop brushing and flossing your teeth because you have a bad tooth?
No,
right? Ideally, no. Hopefully you're still brushing your teeth.
Nobody wants a mouth odor.
Exactly. So, you know, you'd still brush your teeth. Now, if you have tooth pain, are you just going to go, you know, maybe I need a cap on this tooth. If I put a cap on it, then that's just going to make, you know, the whole thing better. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
100% of the time. Not necessarily. Right. So what happens is, I mean, why is the pain happening? Is the pain happening because you have an infection? Is the pain happening because you have a hole in your tooth? Is the pain happening because you have a rotten tooth? Like, what's going on, right? Do you need a root canal? Like, we don't know why. Nerve pain, nerve damage, you know, like, we don't know why that's happening, right? Like, are you having nerve pain because you have a, you know, jaw tumor? Like, you know, there's like so many different reasons as to why nerve pain could be, tooth pain could be happening.
Yeah.
And just to put a cap on that tooth and just go, you know, go away and feel better, which would be the same as going to IVF without understanding why you are not conceiving or having a difficulty keeping a pregnancy to term. That's literally the same thing as just like, you know, you've got a toothache and you don't know why, but you're just going to put a cap on it. The opposite is also true, where, you know, you are literally, you have this tooth pain and you just keep doing lifestyle and environmental changes without understanding why the tooth pain is there. Sure, keep brushing your teeth. That's going to be a super important foundation for you to overlay effective treatment, but you first must understand why it's happening. Okay. And I'm not saying that you only start improving your diet and improving your life, exercising, sleeping well, and, you know, meditating and, you know, doing all of the things that are going to keep you healthy once you understand why you're infertile. But I'm saying that one thing has to include the other. Right. And that is the key message here, is like, just because you are experiencing this issue, it does not mean that you're just going to do brushing of your teeth and not find out why this is happening, right? That's a key crucial distinction. And also at the same time, you're not just going to go and put a cap on your tooth and go and do all these very high interventional modalities and therapies without understanding why and without really having clarity as to the diagnostics of what's going on. So, you know, I always talk about, when people say to me, what are some recommendations that you have for people who are trying to conceive? And, you know, one of the things that I like to make it really clear, or that I like to say, is act pregnant now to get pregnant later. And this is as
take
a couple,
it till you make it.
Well, you know, that kind of, but in a really good way, from the perspective that, you know, you want your partner and you to literally, because you are already, whether you are a male or a female, you are already carrying within you 50% of that healthy little baby that you want to create.
Yeah.
So if you are not the if those cells are not swimming in the best and healthiest possible environment, guess what? You are negatively impacting your chances of conceiving and your chances of keeping a pregnancy to term. It's like in the toothbrushing analogy, if you're not brushing your teeth, you are going to increase the risk of developing cavities, right? So the same thing applies here. So you want to be brushing your teeth, which is the same as doing your lifestyle, you know, good lifestyle, healthy lifestyle, diet, and so on. But you also want to be able to remove out of that equation all of the things that you absolutely already know that if you were pregnant right now, you would not do. So let's say, what are the things that you would absolutely do, and what are the things that you will absolutely not do if you were the one pregnant right now, whether you're a male or a female, right? Because really what you want to do is you want to utilize that mindset to make choices in your day-to-day that are going to improve your health and improve the outcomes that you want to create, or i.e. the health of your child in the long term. First of all, your ability to conceive, but then, of course, your ability to keep a healthy pregnancy to term and have a healthy baby. All of those things are going to be critical, right, in the process of making this transformation. So the thing that is really important for people to also consider is that, like I said before, and we've repeated this, and you've even made this the title of this podcast, fertility is a team sport. So it's not enough for just a woman to do this, right? It's also extremely important for the man to do the same.
Yeah.
And so really, when we come back to it, it's like, okay, if we go on to the opposite of like, what is it that people would need to stop doing to improve their chances of taking home a healthy baby? Well, drinking alcohol, smoking, you know, cigarettes, drugs, whatever it is that they would be doing in their day-to-day, like even prescription drugs that perhaps they could, you know, live in a different way to not need those types of things. Of course, you need to talk to your doctor and see, you know, what are the best ways to wean off medication if that's appropriate. Of course, you need to have the support that you need. But at the same time, you need to see, okay, well, am I doing anything in my life now that's detrimental to my health, or that doesn't support my health fully, that I could be doing differently and that's going to make a difference? And give me a different result? And then start from there, you know, start from those places to chip away at the improvements that you can make. And you know, on the obvious side as well, what are the things that I can add to my day-to-day and my environment and what's going on so that I can have the best possible outcome here? And that will be things like eating healthily, you know, basing your meals on vegetables and protein, good quality vegetables and protein, making sure that you are having enough sleep, having regular sleep. All of these factors are going to make such a huge, huge difference. You know, I highly recommend people listen to Huberman did a great podcast recently with Matt Walker on sleep. Everything they talk about is so critical in terms of fertility for, you know, like sleep is vital for fertility, and addressing those lifestyle factors, I think, is going to be so critical. So that's something that I highly recommend. Also, management of emotions, you know, like being able to learn how to manage your emotions, whether it's through meditation or any other process that's helpful for people, is so critical. You know, so those are, if there was like a top three for me, that would definitely be it. And of course, you know, exercise, you literally cannot underplay the amazing effect of exercise for balancing hormones, especially for people who might be struggling to conceive or need to lose weight. You know, all of those things are going to play a role in terms of fertility. So exercise is going to be critical from a biochemical perspective. And really, you know, it's about looking at, okay, how do we do the best that we can with the information that we have? Exactly. Because, you know, sometimes people don't know where to start, but these are some really great places to start.
I'm just a little curious. What do you think about fertility or conception cups, and how effective do you think they are?
Fertility conception cups?
Yes.
Are those the ones that basically men would ejaculate into and then the woman would place on the cervix?
Yeah.
So to be honest, I haven't actually looked at the data. I'm in two minds, even just like having this conversation with you right now. There are pros and cons, and I think in my mind there would be more cons than pros.
Yeah.
And the reason is that, you know, you're putting the semen in a receptacle that is not natural. Or, you know, that most likely is going to be made out of some plastic or silicone like that. And, you know, plastics we know are detrimental to female health as well as male health and detrimental to sperm. So really, you know, looking at it from that perspective, I would say it's something that you don't want to do or that you don't want to embark on. So, you know, it's really the thing that you want to take into account, the fact that if you just have intercourse at a well-timed kind of time frame, and you have intercourse in a well-timed way, and you lie down after intercourse for about 5 minutes, that's enough to give the sperm the time that it needs to be able to actually fertilize the egg, if that's going to happen in that cycle and if there are no other obstacles for it to occur, right? So I would as best as possible refrain from using any of these kind of, you know, modern fancy things that people, you know, evolutionarily speaking, we have gone millions of years having babies without these cups. Yes. And if we are needing these cups, we need to ask ourselves why now? So I would not recommend it.
Okay.
I'm much more pro understanding what are the underlying what are the underlying factors that are actually even calling for me to have any level of attention or desire around this thing, right? So I would basically just, wouldn't recommend
what it. About supplements? What supplements would you have men and women who are trying consume?
Look, you know, the supplement industry is an industry of its own. Like, it's like the IVF industry. You know, these are multi-billion dollar industries. So there will be absolutely people telling you that you must have this and you must have that. The reality is that, yes, having good nutrients, good quality nutrients that are, I always, in my clinic, I only prescribe practitioner only products because they are much better quality and they're, you know, they get the outcome that we want them to have. A good quality multivitamin, a good quality high DHA, EPA fish oil, and a very good probiotic as a base will be essential. But then there's variations that are going to be necessary. You know, it's going to be a situation where you need to understand what is that person needing? Do they have nutritional deficiencies? Mm. Are there factors that we need to take into account that we haven't considered for one person versus another? So I'm not a clinician who will be like going on the internet saying, you know, oh, you need to have all of these supplements. And there are lots of people that do that because they sell supplements, right? Yeah. But I'm not that person. I'm really much more about, okay, what is it that, let's assess very deeply and very clearly what it is that people need individually, and let's make those prescriptions and recommendations for that person. So I would suggest that, you know, when people are looking for a clinician, that they're looking for people who actually have a proven track record of doing what it is that they say they're going to do, and that really know what it is that they're talking about and can really individualize and personalize treatment for that person. You know, it's kind of like the basics, like a good quality multivitamin, a good quality fish oil, a good quality probiotic. Those are like brushing your teeth, and you know, you should do those things. But the variations and the differentiations and the personalization, customization, that really needs to be on a one-to-one basis, you know, to be able to really have the best outcome there.
Okay. Thank you, Gabriela. Before we end the show, I would like you to sell yourself. Where can my listeners find you, and how can we find you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm on basically every social media platform you could imagine. You can Google me, Gabriela Rosa, GABRIELARosa. And my website is fertilitybreakthrough.com. So that's fertilitybreakthrough.com.
Okay. It's such a privilege to have you on the show today. We've reached the end of the show today. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Gabriela.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you learned something from today's episode. Don't forget to join me on the next episode of your favorite show, The Late Nights with Just Tammy.